Ephesians chapter 1. This, of course, is Paul's letter to the Lord's church in Philippi. The city of Philippi was a Roman colony located in the northeast corner of what would now be Greece. The church there was established during Paul's second missionary journey, and that's recorded in Acts chapter 16. When Paul writes this letter, he's in prison, probably in Rome. Yet the letter has a very positive and encouraging tone. It's probably, without a doubt, it's the most positive of Paul's epistles. We'd like to read today verses 2 through verse 7. Philippians 1, verses 2 through 7. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet or fitting for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Now, what we read here is the salutation, or the greeting, if you will, of the letter. And it is in this salutation that Paul expresses his desire for them. He expresses his gratefulness for the time that he had with the Philippians. He expresses his love for them. He expresses his confidence concerning them. And we see in verse 7 that all of this is fitting, and even as is meet for me. And what we read here reflects my feelings toward you, and I believe your feelings toward us. They are mutual feelings. What we read here ought to be true. I pray that it'll be true of your future pastors have toward you and you toward them. Again, it's mutual feelings. And I believe that's the design of God. This is of God. What we have here in our text is a template. We want to speak this morning on mutual feelings. We want to consider six things that we see in these verses. First of all, there is a desire. Paul has a desire for them. We see this in verse 2. He says, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He desires that they would be the recipients of God's continuous grace. Grace be unto you. Again, grace here is God's activity toward them in love and in favor. Grace here would be God coming to them, intervening in their lives, and doing so out of love and favor to them. It's God's power. It's God's love. It's God's care upon them. He desires that they have grace for living life. The world, of course, is a very sinful and wicked and twisted place. And the world is filled with ditches, and the world is filled with traps. It's a world of darkness, a world that is spiritually parched and filled with needs. But there is enabling grace to live for God in this world. And that's what Paul desires for them. Life, of course, is made up of a variety of changes, a variety of seasons. And throughout all the changes that we experience in life, there is God's enabling grace to live for God. And this is Paul's desire for them. There are difficulties, there are trials, there are tribulations, there are pressures that concern every area of our life. And sometimes these can go beyond human effort, human strength, human ability. But there is grace from God to live for God, and this was Paul's desire for them. There are times where there's going to be disappointment, there's going to be confusion, there's going to be anxiety, there's going to be fear. But there's grace from God to live for God. And this was Paul's desire for them. There will be times of slander. There will be times of false accusations. There will be times of abandonment and persecution. But there is enabling grace to live for God. There are times of unpleasant change. There are times of upheaval. There are times of uncertainty. But there is enabling grace to live for God. And again, this was Paul's desire for them. And then notice, and peace. Grace and peace. And this comes from God, our Father. I believe peace is the result of God's grace. The peace of God is the opposite of fear. It's the opposite of agitation. It's the opposite of anxiety. It is a state of rest. It is a state of inward strength. It is the knowledge, it is the assurance that the shepherd is near, that the shepherd is in control. It's a state of contentment, contentment with God. It is a state of stillness before God. It is an inward calm. It is a state of enjoyment of the Lord. There is such a peace. And this grace and peace that comes from God will raise the child of God above the world, will raise the child of God above the difficulties, above the trials, above the tribulations, above the storms, above the obstacles of this life. This grace and peace is stronger than worry. It is stronger than the fear of the flesh. Again, it's grace and peace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. That's Paul's desire for them. He is saying, I desire that you experience the love, the favor, the power, and the care of God in an intervening way in your life, and that you would know the rest and the contentment and the inward calm of the Lord. Paul did not know what was in their future, but he did know this, that grace and peace from God would get them through. And this was his desire for them. Grace and peace from God. And I believe the feeling was mutual. I believe if they were writing to Paul, they would have said the same thing. And so that is our desire for Home Baptist Church, that grace and peace from God be with you. We have no idea of what's going to happen in any of our lives, but we do know God's grace, God's peace is more than sufficient. Secondly, there was a thankful heart. As Paul reflects upon his time with the Philippian church, upon his relationship with them, he begins with gratefulness to God. He says in verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. He's expressing an inward emotion, an inward feeling, an inward attitude and spirit of thankfulness. Notice that the object of the thanksgiving is God. He doesn't say, I thank you. He says, I thank my God. So it is a thankfulness rightly directed. Directed toward God. In those words, I thank my God, there is a realization that God is the cause of what he's being thanked for. God is the cause. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, Paul and the church at Philippi, they had a special relationship. They had a bond with one another. And Paul realizes that God is the reason for this relationship. So he says, I thank my God. Because God is the reason. He realizes that it was God that caused their paths to cross. So he says, I thank my God. Paul was realizing that God had brought them together, that it was God who allowed them to have the time that they had. So he says, I thank my God. He realizes that God had orchestrated it all. So again, he says, I thank my God. Now in verse 3, there are two pronouns. I, being Paul, and you, being the church at Philippi. Here it would be I, you, and concerning these two, Paul sees God. And he says, I thank my God. In other words, he's saying, I'm deeply grateful to God for you. He is saying, I am always and continually thankful to God for you. Again, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now notice those two words, every remembrance. Every remembrance. I believe he's saying a couple things. He is saying you are continually in my thoughts, and I thank God for that. You know, the saying is, out of sight, out of mind. And though there may be some truth to that, That wasn't the case here. It's probably been about 10 years since Paul had been with the Philippians. And these Philippians, this church in Philippi, was etched upon the mind and heart of Paul. It wasn't out of sight, out of mind. And I believe if they were writing the letter, it would be the same thing. The feeling was mutual. Paul says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So what he's saying is, as I think upon you, my heart wells up with thankfulness, and I just keep up offering thanks to God for you. Now think about it. Paul left Philippi. From Philippi, he would go to a lot of places as you read the book of Acts, Acts 16:9. And again, I believe there's a span of about 10 years. From Philippi, he would go on to Berea and to Athens and to Corinth and to Ephesus and to Syria and to Cenchrea, Miletus, Caesarea. He would go to Antioch. He would go to Jerusalem. He would go throughout the regions of Galatia. And eventually he'd be brought to Rome to be imprisoned. So there's a lot of places in between Acts 16 and when Paul writes this letter. But in spite of all these places, he remembered them. And I believe the feeling was mutual. Paul went to these places, preaching and ministering, and in so doing, think of all the people that Paul met. But he says of these that made up the Philippian church, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. They were still upon his mind. All the places, all the people, all the time that had passed, they're still on his mind. From Philippi, Paul would go from city to city. He would go from town to town. If you look at his journeys, he would go from continent to continent. But he still remembered them. And I believe, again, the feeling was mutual. Again, from Philippi to such places as Berea and Athens and Corinth and Ephesus and Syria and Cenchrea and Miletus and Caesarea and Antioch and Jerusalem and Galatia and Rome. These places included many people, included many other churches, included many events. Time had passed, but they're still upon his mind. And he says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. They remain precious. They remain dear to him. And the feeling was mutual. Again, notice it is, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That means there were a variety of remembrances. There were some joyful occasions. There were sad occasions. There were trials. There were difficulties. There were challenges. These were all, many, you could go on and on. The remembrances. But Paul saw God's hand in it all. Whether it be a remembrance of joy, whether it be a remembrance of sadness, whether it be a remembrance of difficulty, he says, I thank my God. It was God who orchestrated it all. It was God who brought them together for the joyful occasions. It was God who brought them together for the sad occasions. It was God who brought them together for the difficult situations. He says, I thank my God. He didn't forget them. Sharon and I, we went from Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood to Zohar Baptist Church in Cunningham, Kentucky. We never forgot the people in Streamwood. Never. They always had a special place in our hearts. And then we went from Zohar Baptist Church to Home Baptist Church. And we never forgot the people at Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood. And we never forgot the people at Zohar Baptist Church. They, through the miles of separation, in spite of all the events of time, those two places remain very precious and special to us because it was God's hand in it. And now it's time, God's time, for us to leave Home Baptist Church, and you will remain precious and special to us. No matter how much time passes, no matter how many other people we meet and how many other events transpire, you'll be upon our minds and our hearts, and we pray that that thankfulness of heart is mutual, and I believe it is. The third thing we notice here is there was a spirit of supplication. Notice verse 4. Always, in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. It's one thing to remember people. It's another thing to remember them in joy. I can remember some people, and I'd be lying to you if I told you it was joyful remembrances. So it's one thing to remember people, another thing to remember them in joy, and another thing to remember them in prayer. But hear what Paul says. He says, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request. He not only remembered them, but when he prayed, he remembered them. Again, from Philippi, there was Berea, there was Athens, there was Corinth, there was Ephesus, there was Syria, there was Cenchrea, Miletus, Caesarea, Antioch, Jerusalem, Galatia, Rome, and all the time in between, and all the people and all the events included in these places. And Paul still remembers them in prayer. He never forgot. And I believe that if they were writing to Paul, the feeling would be mutual. Paul was a very busy man. Led a very eventful life. But his life was characterized by praying for others. He traveled extensively, whether by foot or sea, and he labored everywhere he went. He was beaten, he was imprisoned, he suffered shipwreck, yet none of those things could keep him from remembering others in prayer. After he established churches in various places, He then left those churches, but he continued to pray for them. It wasn't as if he went from one church to another and then forgot the church he left. And we see this all through his epistles. He said to the saints in Romans, in Rome, in Romans 1 verse 9, without ceasing, I make mention of you in my prayers. And to the church of Ephesus in Ephesians 1:16, he said, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. To Timothy, 2 Timothy 1 verse 3 says, I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. And to Philemon, in verse 4, he says, I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. And hear him as he says to the church in Philippi, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. In spite of the time that had passed, in spite of the miles in between them, in spite of all the events that had taken place since he left Philippi, he's still praying for them. He's still thinking upon them. And again, I believe the feeling was mutual. Paul continued to pray for them in spite of everything else that was going on in his life. And he did so from a heart of concern and love and compassion. And again, when Sharon and I left Faith Baptist Church in Streamwood 21 and a half years ago and went to Zor Baptist Church in Cunningham. Though separated by miles and though there were many events that have transpired in that time, we did not cease to have a burden. We did not cease to pray for the people in Streamwood. And then when we went from Zor Baptist Church to here, 17 years, has passed in that time, though separated by miles, and again, though many events have transpired, we have not ceased to have a burden. We have not ceased to pray for the people in Streamwood and in Cunningham. And now we go from here. And again, though separated by miles, and again, though life will continue to happen, all the events of life will not cease to have a burden and a love for you all. I promise that. And will not cease to pray for you all. I've been blessed in the fact that every church I've pastored, one of them's not in existence, but every church that I've pastored, I can go back to. I've never left on bad terms. That's God. That's not me. That's God. And I'm thankful. I'm thankful for that. Because I have precious memories everywhere the Lord has put us. And everywhere God has put us, the people have remained special to us and precious to us through the years. And I've never stopped caring for the churches that I've pastored. Never. I feel bond. You always feel the closest bond to the church where you are, of course. That's how God does it. But that doesn't mean that the other bonds cease. No, they continue on. They continue on. So Paul says to them, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy, or in joy. God had brought them together. There's no doubt in my mind that God brought us together. No doubt in my mind. 17 years ago, God brought us together. And God formed a special bond and link, just as he did with Paul in the church of Philippi. And time and miles and events Couldn't change that. Couldn't change it. And not only did Paul continue to bring them before the Lord in prayer, but I believe they him. They continued to pray for him. Oh, the lifelong blessing of God bringing people together. It's a lifelong blessing. Then notice, fourthly, there was a remembrance of sweet fellowship. Verse 5, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The first day being Acts 16 until now. Paul is thanking God for the God created, God wrought relationship, bond, friendship, and affection between himself and the Philippian church. Paul thought of the sweet times of concord that he had with the church at Philippi. And he thanked God with joy. Paul thought of the sweet times of nearness that he had with the church at Philippi. And he thanked God. Paul thought of the sweet times of receiving from them and sharing with them. And he thanked God. That's what fellowship is, receiving and sharing. Paul thought of the sweet times of communion, the sweet times of interaction with the church at Philippi. And he thanked God. He thought of the friendship. That's what fellowship is, and the togetherness with the church at Philippi. And he joyfully thanked God. He thought of the identification that was shared between he and the church at Philippi. And he thanked God. He thought of the fact that they walked together. And he thanked God. He thought of the sweet times of enjoyment that he had with the church at Philippi, and he thanked God. You see, there was a special God-created lifelong bond between them. And Paul thanked God for such. We've been here for 17 years. And there has been fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And we thank God. It's a God-wrought partnership. That's what fellowship is. In the gospel. From the first day until now. Then fifthly, notice he had confidence in God concerning them. Being confident of this very thing, that he, that's God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul fully believed that God had done a work in them, and that God would continue that gracious work in them. He was trusting in God, that God would continue to work in them. He was relying upon God. People have asked me, how do you think home church will do? And I say, they'll be fine. They'll be fine. Because it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about God. God will finish what he's begun. God will continue what he's begun. So he's relying upon God to faithfully carry out his work in them. and he's fully persuaded that he will. And lastly, there was a looking forward to a glorious day. Notice verse 6, until the day of Jesus Christ. That is the return of Jesus Christ. At his return, the saved, 1 Thessalonians 4:17, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. It will be a gathering of complete and entire unity. It will be a gathering without any parting whatsoever. In this life, there are separations. We gather, but then we separate. There are goodbyes. Not at this gathering. At this gathering, there will be no separation. There will be no goodbye. Goodbye will be forever gone. It will also be a gathering where no problems exist. May I say, there are no such gatherings in this life. Whenever we gather, there's always problems. They may not come to the surface, but there's always problems. In all earthly gatherings, there are problems, there are trials, there are difficulties, there are afflictions, there are sorrows, there are heartaches, there are burdens, there are struggles of all sorts. In fact, these are the reasons for some of our gatherings. And they are the themes of some of our gatherings. It's just the way it is in the world. But praise God. The hour is coming where we will be gathered unto Him, and there will be no problems. There will be no struggles. All of those things gone. No sin, no sickness, no disease, no death. A gathering of untold joy. Oh, how we ought to long for that day when we shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But in the meantime, until Jesus comes, we desire God's very best for each other. Grace and peace be unto you. We are to be possessed with a thankful heart for each other. A spirit of supplication for one another. A remembrance of sweet fellowship. And a confidence in God concerning each other. And a looking forward to being forever together with Christ. So we get back to where we started. We thank God. Paul said, I thank God. I cannot possibly express the thankfulness to God for my entire life. My entire life. God has been so good to me. God has brought people into my life that have been a wonderful, wonderful blessing. I have fathers and mothers all over the place, brothers and sisters. And so it is here. Same thing. And I thank God. I thank God. Well, more than that, I'll mention more of that tonight. But I thank God for the time that He has given us here. I thank God for causing our lives to come together, causing our paths to cross. And it doesn't end, because it's a lifelong bond, a lifelong affection. Brother Tim, if you'd come and lead us.